It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Moreno with KRWG News. Thousands of New Mexicans would no longer be able to sign up for child care assistance under a rule proposed by the Children, Youth, and Families Department. KUNM's Hannah Colton reports.
Right now, families with incomes up to 200% of the federal poverty level are eligible to enroll in child care assistance from the state. CYFD wants to cap enrollment eligibility at 160%, or about $34,000 a year for a family of three. Maria Griego is a supervising attorney with the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty. She says the proposed rule would prevent thousands of families from getting child care subsidies.
Meaning they'll have to forego important job opportunities or drop out of school because they will not be able to get on child care assistance.
Families who are currently enrolled would still remain eligible, up to 200% of the federal poverty level. A judge earlier this month found that CYFD failed to go through the required public process when they tightened eligibility for the program a few years ago. The department is taking public comment on the proposed rule through July 8th, when they'll hold a public hearing. For KUNM, I'm Hannah Colton.
The central question in a two-decade federal court case is whether New Mexico's Human Services Department is distributing food assistance and Medicaid fast enough and to the right people. A new boss was appointed to the department this year. KUNM's Marisa DeMarco heard from Secretary David Scrace about the changes he's making.
We are committed to ensuring that every qualified New Mexican receives timely and accurate benefits. We've got a million customers. We've got over 60 benefit plans that are regulated by state and federal law. Those laws change, and actually, they don't always agree with each other. So if you just think about the complexity involved in that, we really need to focus on the configuration of our information system to absolutely ensure it is completely supporting our employees.
People who work for HSD and the Income Support Division testified in court in 2016 that they'd been told to add assets to people's applications so they wouldn't be eligible for emergency food aid. How are you sure that this kind of fraud isn't still happening and won't happen again going forward?
First, I'll just say that's deplorable. I've made it very, very clear, including a memo to all employees, that every piece of information put in needs to be completely accurate. If there's a reason that a certain field has to be entered a certain way that might not be completely accurate, that requires documentation as well as to why that was done and how that will help the member get benefits. And so, and we also are working on ways of monitoring the system to see, to pop up a red flag here and there if a decision to give someone benefits was going one way and then it seems to be reversed near the end. We have not perfected that, but I do know that all our employees know, based on hearing directly from me, what's expected of them. And I also told them that it was really important to me that they completely understand the directive about only having accurate information. And I gave them my cell phone number that they could call if they had any questions.
When you took this position, did you look and see whether any of the supervisors who gave those orders were still employed at HSD or maybe had been just transferred to other departments?
I'm hesitant to answer that question because even giving you an answer would imply that I agree that there's evidence that supervisors gave those directions, but that's not acceptable behavior. And there were some positions outlined in the court, and we have examined those carefully. Most of those people are no longer with state government, and the folks that are we're working with to ensure that there's no possibility that anything like this could ever happen again. But I'm quite confident that in those two cases that it will not.
There was another hearing in this federal court case, and lawyers with the Center on Law and Poverty brought forward their findings that some people still aren't getting access to the programs they're eligible for, that their applications were still being rejected when they should be approved. That research also showed that sometimes HSD was illegally asking for extra documents or not giving out the right notices and forms. What systemic changes are needed to make sure that those errors stop happening?
We don't agree with all the statistics that the plaintiff's attorneys brought forth. That is not to say in any way that we don't think there's opportunities for improvement and a need for us to do better. I mean, we wouldn't be making multi-million dollar investments if we thought everything was just fine. We know that there's more we need to do. We can't just keep directing the employees to solve a problem that could be configured into the system to make things work.
What are the things particularly that you disagreed with?
I think the main thing I disagreed with the plaintiffs is a statement they made that any improvements we made in timeliness of processing applications were meaningless in the absence of any members not getting benefits. And we had 96,000 people in the queue to process for benefits in the year 2016. And I didn't check this morning, but last Thursday we had something like 1,857, which is one day's work. I think that's a monumental accomplishment that an incredible amount of credit needs to go to our employees and their managers who found ways to improve the system and to make these applications more timely. And so I think it's important that we collaborate together and celebrate the successes.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Secretary David Scrace.
You're welcome. Thank you.